Well, welcome to the second Sunday of Easter. We get a full season. Some of you may know this Sunday has traditionally been called Low Sunday, contrasted to last week, Easter Sunday, when the countless throngs wedge into the pews, overflowing into the aisles. Low Sunday, when you have your pick of the pews. Plenty of room to spread out. There's a general exhale after all the hyped up energy of Easter Day. But I'll tell you, friends, calling it Low Sunday has never made sense to me because, well, there are many who do show up, who do come here on the second Sunday of Easter. You're here. I noticed. That's not why you came, not to be noticed. You're here for your reasons, good reasons. But I have a friend who once said that this Sunday would be better called Now What Sunday instead of Low Sunday. Now what? The people who come this week are asking, now what? After all the Easter Day empty tomb and majestic hymns and the masses wanting to catch a glimpse of the risen Christ in their lives, we show up here on the second Sunday of Easter to learn what comes next, what carries on, what's next for those bewildered disciples who couldn't make sense of the resurrection straight off, what makes sense for us in our lives when we have doubt and questions and uncertainty. Now what? And the scriptures appointed for today help us find the answer to that question. In a stroke of what I think is brilliant wisdom, the crafters of the lectionary have paired that gospel passage of disciples huddled in fear behind locked doors with the peace of Christ coming into their midst, pairing that with the reading from Acts of the Apostles, which shows the same very disciples, the very same people who are huddled in fear in the gospel, then standing courageously in the face of corrupted power and saying, we must say what we have to say. We get a risen Christ extending hands of peace and presence to anyone who would doubt or does not understand. We get a beautiful, beautiful confession from Thomas, whose eyes are opened to the love of Christ, creating space for his doubt, even while inviting him and us into the wounded reality of that love. And then we get the apostles acting. Now, if you have never read the book of the Bible called the Acts of the Apostles, from start to finish in one reading, about 2 hours' time, I would encourage you to do that this week. It is as good a tale as anything J.K. Rowling or Tolkien or Lewis has to offer us. It is better than anything Hollywood would ever be able to offer up. It answers, I believe, the now what question for those first disciples and any of us who would follow in their footsteps. We get just a glimpse of it in the brief passage this morning, but I want to set it up for you so that you can understand that scene in the context of the wonderful, incredible things that are happening for the early church. First, it's helpful to know that the Acts of the Apostles, that book, is actually a sequel to the Gospel of Luke, written by the same person. Think Star Wars and Empire Strikes Back. Acts is the sequel, the companion book recounting the history of the church in its earliest days. And it lays down some really important things. We would not be sitting here if it weren't for what is recorded in the book of Acts. The Gospel of Luke ends with the resurrection, with a couple of really beautiful post-resurrection appearances of Christ to the disciples. And then it ends at the very last with him, with Jesus, ascending up into heaven. And the disciples are just still saying, now what? They don't get it. And then the book of Acts opens with that same scene of Jesus ascending into heaven, and the disciples' eyes are still gazing heavenward, and they're saying, well, now what? Now, in 7 weeks' time, which is the biblical way of saying when they are ready to understand, in 7 weeks' time, and that's why we have 7 weeks of Easter, by the way, in 7 weeks' time, the same disciples in the book of Acts will receive the gift of the Spirit in really remarkable fashion, with tongues of fire whipping over their heads and wind rustling through their and across their faces. And they understand one another like they've never understood one another before. And then they get it. And they set about picking up where Jesus left off. Jesus, just weeks earlier, they had betrayed Jesus. Just weeks before, they had betrayed Jesus. And they had watched from a painful distance him get killed because they couldn't stand the thought of the risk of getting too close. And then they went and hid in fear. But here they are in the book of Acts, same people telling anyone who would listen about this person, Jesus, and sharing the good news of God's love that they understood through him. They have an emboldened message. It gets them in hot water. It gets them in hot water with the authorities. So much so, the authorities throw them in prison right before this passage that we just heard. Now, here's the great part, though. There's a nighttime prison break for these guys. A nighttime prison break that involves an angel. Luke loves angels. From Gabriel with Mary to the angels beside the empty tomb, now to a prison break, and the angel says to them, do not run away and hide now, but go back where you were yesterday, same place where you got arrested, and keep telling the story. And they had enough courage to do so. They go back into that next, into the temple, so that the next morning they're there already talking when the religious authorities are approaching or showing up for work. And they're like, didn't we just arrest you and throw you into prison? And they said, yes, you did, but here we are. And those authorities are nonplussed, they're exasperated. Why do you keep talking about this dead man Jesus when we told you to stop? And Peter, no doubt with the cock's crow still searing at his ears, Peter says, well, we must obey God rather than any human authority. Here we stand. We can do no other. Friends, that's the now what. Peter and others had come to understand that they were heralds of the good news of God's love made known through Jesus Christ and were willing to share it with anyone, no count the cost. Now, I got to tell you, the second half of Acts is not about those guys so much as it is about Paul. He didn't know Jesus when he walked on the earth, but he came to know Jesus in a really remarkable way, a knockdown, drag out conversion experience, worth the read in and of itself. Paul goes on to become an apostle of Jesus Christ too, and in his own way shares his story with the early church and with us, such that we are sitting here because of his contribution to that telling the good news too, of having the courage to do so. It is Paul who tells us that when we come together and stand courageously, we are the now what that becomes the body of Christ here and now. We're not just people talking of our own accord. We become the body of Christ in our particular place. But being sent out as the body of Christ into a broken, hurting world to offer the good news of resurrection hope to all of creation, to all people, that's no small venture. It's no small task. It will get us in hot water with the authorities, I assure you. It takes courage. Courage from the French, middle French word, coeur, from which we get core or cardio. It's about heart. It's about having wholeheartedness as a way of living. Courage is the attribute of wholehearted living for which every person yearns deeply. Courage means to live wholeheartedly because that's who you truly are. But what does it mean to obey God when human laws are unjust or just miss the point of preserving the common good? What does it mean to obey God? It's not a list of rules to follow. It's about knowing what's deep down in your created soul as the authentic you that is able to share that. It doesn't remove fear from the equation. The danger doesn't miraculously dissipate for those who follow Christ. You know that to be true. I do as well. But even in the face of danger or injustice or evil, wholeheartedness stands courageously and says, there is a different way for us to follow Christ. There is a Christ-like way of being in the world. And that's the now what, folks? The wholeheartedness comes as a gift from God so that you can be who you're truly created to be. It is a gift of self-worth in which you come to understand that God claims you as worthy, as beloved, that as the one who you are. And you are invited to honor yourself for who you truly are. And if you honor yourself, then authenticity arises naturally enough in your life. And if you're doing that, then you become willing and able to reveal your true character to others. You can't help but do so. No masks, no protective armor, just your true self, transparent, authentic, wholehearted, and vulnerable. That's right. There's the rub, folks. To live wholeheartedly and authentically means necessarily you must be vulnerable enough with others that they can hurt you. They can hurt you. They can do you harm. They can even kill you in some cases. But you do it anyway because that authenticity is the now what of living life by the light of Easter. Now, I just used a couple of words, arise and reveal. They are words I used intentionally because they are resurrection verbs. They are grounded in God's acceptance of you, God's invitation to you to practice resurrection wholeheartedly in the way that you live and move and have your being. But let's name that resurrection is the timeless infusion of God's love, God's consummate love offered into all of creation. Every person, every element of creation, and is gathering it up and making it all new. It is not we ourselves that we proclaim, but the love of God in Christ Jesus. And so I would challenge you this week. Look for the ways that life arises and is revealed to you in your life, in the world. And lay claim to those as signs, as gifts, that God is still at work in this world, broken as it is, here and now. Or better yet, let those resurrection verbs, the arising and the being revealed, let those resurrection verbs act on your life and trust that God's Spirit is stirring in you and flames of fire are flashing over your head, the wind is blowing in your life. All for a purpose, calling you into the now what of your true identity, the now what for who you were really created for. My friends, this week, be the body of the resurrected Christ in this world, right here, right now.